In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus says, I am coming soon. Yes, he will return in the same way as he went into heaven on the clouds. The wedding feast is now ready. Nothing more needs to be done, for the sacrifice of Calvary has made full and complete atonement for every sin. The flaming sword that guarded the gate to Eden slew him, and so that you might be saved. The curtain is torn. Eden is opened. The cherubim now sing. The marriage feast is the tree of life. Finally, you can rest underneath its cool shade, enjoying its delicious fruit. Its smell is the smell of victory. The smell excites your heart, for the bridegroom himself is near. You can smell him. It's the smell of victory, the smell of resurrection, the smell of Easter, the smell of life. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The grave is now empty. The bridegroom lives, so too will the dead in Christ awake from their slumber to live with him forever. His hour is at hand. The distant triumph song rings in your ears. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Heaven and earth are joined in a glorious festival procession, waiting for the bridegroom to come. What joy will be yours? What gladness will be yours? Like a thief in the night, he comes. He comes to bring his people to himself. He comes like a thief, for you do not know the day or the hour of his return, but do not let that day surprise you like a thief. At midnight, the firstborn of Egypt were killed. At midnight, the firstborn of Israel were saved. Neither knew the exact hour of the Lord's coming. But Israel believed the word, I am coming soon. So Israel prepared. They ate with the blood of a lamb painted on the doorposts and on the lintels. They ate with their cloaks tucked into their belts fastened, sandals on their feet and staffs in their hand. They ate in haste because they believed that the Lord himself was near. So listen to that word of the Lord. Listen to the watchman as he stands in a pulpit week after week after week, urging you to prepare your hearts and minds, to wake up, for the day is nearer now than when you first believed. Shake off your apathy and be renewed in your mind and in your heart. Believe his words, I am coming soon. 2,000 years doesn't seem like soon, but with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, but he delays out of love. He wants all to have their jars full. He wants all to have their lamps burning brightly. He wants all to enter with him into the marriage feast that will have no end. He wants all to be with him forever, none to be left out in darkness, none to have the door shut in their face, none to hear those most dreadful words, I never knew you. The Lord delays so that all might hear the voice of the watchman crying out, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Telling you to prepare is not work righteousness. Telling you to trim your lamps and fill your jars with oil is not telling you to earn your way to heaven. Israel prepared by sacrificing the Passover lamb, painting the blood on the doorposts, and eating in the way the Lord described because they believed the word of the Lord. The wise virgins prepared because they believed the word of the bridegroom that he was coming soon. So to prepare is nothing more than to believe the promises of God in his word. How do you prepare them? Through faith. And how do you get this faith? Not by your own reason or strength, but the Holy Spirit enlightens your hearts and minds by his gospel. So trim your lamps and fill your jars. Hear his word and eat his most blessed supper. Do not look inward at your own heart or your own knowledge to see if you are quite ready for the Lord, but look externally, look outward at what God is doing for you today, and believe his word when he says, "Those who believe and are baptized will be saved." Take and eat for the forgiveness of sins. He is the one who fills your jars so your lamps may be burning brightly on the day of his appearing. No one can believe for you, and you cannot believe for anyone else. Today is the day to hear the cry of the watchman and to listen to his voice. For on that last day, when the trumpet sounds and you are changed, it will be too late. No watchman will cry out in that day. It will come suddenly, like a thief in the night. But it should not surprise you in the least, for you believe his word. So wake up. Wake up, dear Christian. Wake up, O wise virgin. Wake up, you who have been foolish. And be wise. There is still some time left. How much? We know not. But we at least have this moment, this hour. Understand that all the virgins are part of the outward Christian church visible. All 10. This isn't a description of what will happen to the unbelieving pagan world, but what will happen to the church visible. All were pure. All were virgins. All lived good and godly lives. All went to church. All heard God's word. All were waiting for Christ to come. But not all had faith. Virgins are not saved. Those who have faith are saved. Living a good, godly, and moral life does not save. Believing his word saves. Those with oil are saved. Many will be left out because they did not have faith. They had the knowledge. They knew the histories, they knew the stories, knew what he had said, but they did not believe it. So they filled their lamps with something else, occupied their time, and used their talents for something else other than to prepare for the Lord. We cannot see it, but Christ sees the heart. Today is the day then to turn away from your foolish ways and to be wise. Today is the day to repent and to believe his word. Today is the day to hear the absolution with joy and gladness and to eat and to drink his most blessed body and blood for your very salvation. Today is the day to rejoice and to feast with God, for God has not destined you for wrath or destruction, but for salvation, for feasting, for joy, for gladness, to see the bridegroom with your own two eyes and to enter with him into that marriage hall that shall have no end. So wake up. Don't read what's on the bulletin, but believe it. Even, yes, memorize it and learn it so you might confess it. Don't come to the supper simply because that's the next thing that we do, but come believing his promise for the forgiveness of sins. Come with eyes gazing not simply backwards, but forward at his promise, "I am coming soon." Yes, we look back at his death, for this very feast is the meal of Calvary, sacrificed for us so that we might have his forgiveness and salvation. But we don't want to go back. We don't live in the past. We are living for the future. We believe his promise. We want the eternal realities that his word has given. What happened on Calvary makes us eager for what is to come. The door to Eden is now open, and the fruit from the tree of life is placed before your lips. You can smell the victory. You can hear the songs of heaven. For a brief moment, you enter Eden. For a brief moment, you're in the wedding hall. For a brief moment, you feast and you drink with saints on earth and angels in heaven. For a brief moment, you are where you desire to be. The watchmen sing out. The angels join their song. You virgins come and eat with joy and gladness, your lamps burning brightly. This is the marriage feast of the Lamb. But you cannot stay here. You still must wait. You depart in peace, but still you wait. The bridegroom came, but not visibly. He came not to judge the living and the dead, but he came to prepare your hearts and minds. We feasted, but we cannot remain. The pearly gates are still unseen. The wise and the foolish are still standing side by side, mixed with sheep and goats. So we want more. We want the full realities. We want to see those gates and to see our Lord and to see the table surrounded by the saints whom we loved and by those whom we did not know. We want to sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and enjoy eternally what he has promised and given us here. We want the door to be shut, never to be opened again, our flesh to be ripped out of us, so that we might be only the new man, a holy and pure creation. We want the devil to be crushed and cast away from us forever, and the world to have no tug at our heart. And so we continue to prepare. We continue to hear, to eat, and to drink. We continue to live self-controlled and sober lives, waiting for our bridegroom to come. We are not gazing inwardly at our hearts to see if we have faith. We are looking outward at his word and promise. When we look inward toward ourselves, we see a sinner and a saint. We see failures and our regrets. We see missed opportunities, and yes, we even see evil. Thanks be to God, it does not always manifest itself. So we've cast our eyes outward at what God is doing. We wait at the altar. We wait in prayer. We wait with ears open, listening to his word and promise. We wait as virgins pure, cleansed by the blood of Christ. We don't know the day or the hour, but that does not matter. We are confident of his promise. We won't be caught off guard. We believe his word, and so we prepare. Perhaps like so many who went before us, we will die and fall asleep in death. But even that does not matter. Because as we laid our loved ones down to sleep, confident of the resurrection of the dead, so also we die in the same hope, eagerly knowing our Lord will raise those who have died in his name. And when we are foolish, when our sinful flesh leads us into false disbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice, when we try to fill our lamps and our jars with something else, let us be wise. Let us listen to the cry of the watchman week after week, hear his voice, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Let us turn away from sin and toward God in faith. Let us hasten quickly to his absolution and to his supper, because we believe his word, I am coming soon. So wake up. Night is flying by. The watchmen on the heights of Zion are crying out. Listen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.